Have a message tonight entitled The Believer's Economics. The Believer's Economics. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about money and about what we do with our money. And so hold on and bear with me. Okay, amen. The Believer's Economics. Chapter 6, if you will, jump down verse 19. Very familiar verses to you, I know. But he says again, lay not up for yourselves those treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There will your heart be also. Very clearly in Scripture, Jesus puts a priority upon the believers. Economics, if you want to call it that, what he does, what she does with their finances. I've told it before, so just laugh anyways, okay? But you heard the story about the elderly lady, and she was praying so hard. She loved the Lord, but she was broke as a joke. She didn't have any money. And she was praying, her window was open, and her neighbor, who was an atheist, heard it. And he thought, oh man, this lady's a joke. Why would she pray to somebody who doesn't even exist? She said, Lord, you've got to provide. I'd have no groceries. I have nothing to eat. Please provide, Lord. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy her groceries, put them on her front door, and then she's going to have the surprise of her life to find out it wasn't God, it was me. So he went to the store and he spent about $350. And he bought her all kinds of, I mean, everything you can imagine. I mean, ramen noodles, and I guess he was kind of a cheapo, but all you can think of, man, Twinkies and donuts and everything, steaks and roast. And he went and placed it all on her front door. He rang the doorbell, and he ran and hid behind the side. And she opened the door and said, oh, praise God, you delivered. Oh, Lord, I knew you would answer my prayer. And he jumped from out behind and said, aha, I told you God doesn't exist. He didn't get these for you. I did. She said, no, he got them for me, and he used the devil to buy them for me. I like that one. Thank you for laughing. I think I've told that a few times. He used the devil to buy those things for me. The believer's economics tonight, we see Jesus again, this very well-known portion of Scripture, but again, that he talks about laying up our treasure in heaven. Our treasure in heaven. That brings us to, I have number one here. We need to establish priorities, the priorities in our lives by way of our economics or the income we have and other things. That we understand, number one, Jesus says these earthly possessions are truly temporal. They're temporal. And you see here that he says, lay not up for yourselves. Now notice that personal action. The agenda, if you want to call it, the focus on storing up for yourselves. Now, again, that fella that Jesus talks about later on, and he says he looks out and he sees all that he has, and he says, you know what I'll do? He said to self, why don't you go ahead and just build a bigger barn to store more of your stuff in and hoard up more of your money? And Jesus says, what, thou fool, tonight thy soul's required of thee. You think about this evening. Are we putting those things in the right place? A good message for me tonight, I know that. Earthly possessions are very temporal. They're only temporal. And so thinking about this evening, listen to Proverbs 23:5 I have here. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Ain't that true? I don't know why it is, but boy, it seems like the finances go quick. Seems like they go quick. And you see that. I see that often. Boy, I'd get money in the account. Seems like where'd it go? Flew away. Somewhere, somehow. And the wisest man to ever live in writing the book of Proverbs, he writes and talks about this. He says, now, son, basically speaking to his his son, don't prioritize your finances in the way of a self-centered way. Don't put those things backwards. Make sure you prioritize what's important. What's important? Now, what is that? For us, we know again that we prioritize giving to the Lord God, giving to Him and seeking Him. And there's an Old Testament principle, and the Lord comes down and He describes to Moses exactly what the temple or the tabernacle at that time it was called was going to be. And then he makes something of a reference, and he says, There's something called a free will offering. Somebody wants to give out of their own heart, they can do that. But there are some requirements about giving as well. You have to give this and you have to give this, but if there's something that someone just wants to give out of their heart, they can. And that's something we carry over today into the New Testament. We ought to understand that. And the great principle, but also the great blessing of it is, the truth of it, is that God is always there to bless us in return. And the old adage goes, you can never outgive God. Isn't that true? Never. Never can. Never will. So we see they're temporary, but also they cannot give security to us. Again, I reference Psalm 62 and verse 10. He says, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If riches increase, if riches happen to you, okay, but don't set your heart upon them. Why? It's temporal. And we play around today, as you know that, with this stuff we call money, but it's just paper, isn't it? I mean, if they could remove that, the value of that piece of paper at any time they want to, really, and we would be up a creek. And so thinking about that, we prioritize. He says, be cautious and careful that you don't, what? Set your heart upon those riches because something could happen. Now, as we continue, verse 20, he says, lay up for yourselves the treasure in heaven. The treasure in heaven. And this is the things. There's primarily three things that he talks about that can happen to your riches. Number one, he says, the moth. Number two, the rust. And then he says, thieves can break through and steal. The moth and the rust are really natural things, aren't they? You know that. It will fade away. Nobody will steal it, if you will. You can hoard it all you want in some can somewhere out in the middle of the desert, but still, what? It's going to fade away. And he talks about those evils and evil people of the world that will and could steal. Now notice, secondly, not only the earthly possessions are temporal, but he says the heavenly investing is eternal. Heavenly investing is eternal. Heaven is the future home of every believer. We know that, understanding that, basics 101. But as we think about, are we storing up for that day? Notice verse 20 again, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. Again, just a reminder, there will be nothing in heaven that can corrupt. Everything that corrupts is here on earth. It will not spill over into heaven. Nothing of sin or unrighteousness will spill over into heaven. We fail to remember that. Everything God has created on earth, Satan has come down and touched and corrupted almost everything, hasn't he? You can't even go out and pick a rose, can you? There's thorns. You can't go out and do certain things. There's corruption all the time, everywhere. And as you think about it, the other day we were out back, there was a little bug. It was a beautiful little bug, a little green thing, and it shimmered like in the sun. It was beautiful. And the kids were like, wow, look at this bug. It's so cool. Yeah, look at it. We got up close. It stunk. I don't know. They were going, what in the world is that thing? Nasty. I thought about, boy, you can't even look at a bug these days. But you think it's here. He says heavenly investing. Boy, it's eternal. It's eternal. Peter reminds us so clearly. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance, notice this, he's talking about our inheritance, that is incorruptible. It is undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Wonderful verse that you ought to look at. And he says there in 1 Peter 1, 4, it's the inheritance, it's incorruptible, it cannot be corrupted. Man cannot get his grimy, nasty hands on that inheritance, and he can't corrupt it. He can't corrupt it. He can't defile it. He can't come and make it defiled, if you will. Something that's clean and pure and holy. It can be defiled. So we seek with our children. We have children, although they are sinners. We don't want them to be defiled. We try our very best to keep them and to watch over them and to protect them. And you think about it. He says your inheritance that fadeth, thirdly, not away. It doesn't fade out. Won't fade away. Won't corrupt. Won't be diluted, won't be burnt by the heat of the sun, etc. We go on and on. Reserved in heaven. The reservation that's waiting for you. Wonderful reservation that we have in Him. So our home is in heaven. We know that believers should live with heaven in mind.
Now he gives us clear to us. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's your focus. There's your heart going to be. We should live with that in mind. Always, always. We look unto him. 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. And verse 17. Listen to these verses. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Laying up, verse 19, in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Isn't that a challenging thought? Lay up. Notice, living to God. Not uncertain riches, uncertain things. God is protecting you when you prioritize the house of God and your riches, your income, to prioritize God in that. He protects you. Read a story recently of a man who came and he was trying to acquire another business. He was a very wealthy man. He was a multimillionaire. And he saw an opportunity to acquire another company that he could add to his company and obviously make many more millions. Well, the deal fell through. Right at the last minute, everything was going well. The deal fell through. He was so upset. He couldn't believe it. He knew he had lost millions of dollars. He only to find out later that a Chinese investor had come in and he had purchased the company out from under him. He was mad. Well, years had gone by and he came back to look and he inquired and he found out that business had gone under. And when it went under, it took that Chinese businessman with him and he almost went bankrupt because of the deal. And he thought for a minute, a Christian man, and he said, thank God, God protected me from that. Although I thought I was losing millions of dollars, no, he could see out ahead and he knew it. By the way, just a reminder, God sees out ahead. He knows what's coming 10 years from now in your life and in your finances. What's he doing? He's getting us back to where we need to be. Heavenly investing. Oh, it's eternal. It's eternal. So we're establishing priorities. I have, secondly, under this here, the focus that should be kept. We have the established heart. Our heart, where's your heart today? For where your treasure is, there your heart will heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? He's talking about, listen, your focus, your eye is on that. Everything else will be corrupted in that way. Your focus is on this or that. It will follow suit. And we have to understand that. The problem with the heart is the heart. Heart of the problem is the problem with the heart. And you think about the established heart here. Very clear. Paul reminds the church there in Colossians chapter 3. He says in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Oh, that's the great paradox there for us, the great challenge. Where is our affection at? Where is our desire? Where is our longing and our lusting and our coveting after? Well, it's obviously things of the earth. We know that. It's hard to look past and look at something invisible, isn't it? It's hard to look out and see something out there. I can't see heaven. I can't understand that. I'm just to take it by God's word. What do? We don't set our affections on things above. We set them on things of the earth, on things above. And so clearly understanding the heart of focus, number two, let me say, the established purpose in mind. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to keep God where he deserves to be. Our purpose is to serve God in purity and honesty. We clearly know that. He says again, as we've read a while back, but in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, he talks about Demas forsaking him. And then he says this, having loved this present world. That's the reason he forsook. That's the reason he left Paul. It wasn't because the journey was too hard. It wasn't because the ministry was too difficult. It wasn't because all the critics and the beatings and the imprisonments. Listen, Demas went through all of that. Demas endured all of those things with Paul. If you were associated with Paul and he was arrested and beaten, you didn't just get off scot-free. You went with Paul to prison. You went with Paul to the beating, right? And you think about some of that stuff. And Demas, he didn't forsake Paul because of that. Why did he do it? Having loved this present world. He got associated with and he got hooked up with the things of the world. His eyes got off on the things of the world. What a challenging thought. He says, notice this, understanding your focus, we establish our heart, we establish our purpose. Our purpose is to serve. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If I'm pleasing man, Paul says, what in the world am I wasting my stinking time for? Why am I wasting my time when I could be making money at the business that he did? By trade, he was a tent maker. No doubt could make good money. No doubt he invested a lot of time into that. What's he say? I shouldn't be the servant of Christ. I'm not going to follow through if I am a man pleaser. I'm not going to keep my treasure in heaven and focus on him if I'm a man pleaser. Oh, we know that. What's your purpose? To serve God. And if I can give or invest into the things of God, then let me do that. We know the old quote here, but that money's a tremendous servant, but it is a terrible master, isn't it? I can tell money to do whatever I want. Go get this, go get that for me. I want that, and I want it in that color, and I want it in that size. But then the roles switch around. The credit card bill comes, doesn't it? You go, and it says, you pay now, and you pay 21% now, and if you don't pay, we're coming out, and you're going, wait, what? I thought we were friends. I thought we were buddies. I mean, I really thought we had a good thing going. Right? Oh, my friends, think about it. Establish the priority. Let me say again here next, we remember the promise of God. The promise of God. Now, let's continue verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now again, mammon in your Bible refers basically to that of materialism or money, and referring back to those things. And he says something very, very strange to me, because I always thought that I could serve God and money. I mean, I could serve both. I mean, you would think that. But the crazy thing is, if you've ever tried it, it doesn't work, does it? You try and serve. Well, what happens? You start missing church. And then it comes to a point where you don't even go to church anymore. Or just use as an example. You can't do it. Money will take you from this book and take you from the things of God. If I'm saying your heart and purpose is to go after that, we keep it in our rightful place. We keep it where it's supposed to be. Now, again, I know I'm speaking to those folks tonight, you folks, that do keep that in its right place. So just a good reminder for, I guess, me tonight to remember the promises. Now, remember, notice the purpose of life, the purpose of life. Verse 25, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, necessity, what ye shall drink, necessity, what ye shall put on, what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. He goes on to talk about the fowls of the air, how he provides for them. Notice the remembrance of this purpose. What is our purpose? Well, it's to glorify God. God says, don't get mixed up with these things and get sidetracked with all these things. I'll provide those things for you. I'll provide. And it's a wonderful thing to see God provide, isn't it? Oh, it's wonderful. I'll provide that for you if you keep your focus on me. If you keep. Now, he's not going to provide all of that if your focus is on other things, right? We're going to go naturally fall back into, Lord, I need more and I need it now, and we need to enhance this and increase this. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, be without covetousness, okay? And be content with such things as you have. Well, that's good to say if you've got money in the bank and three or four cars and everything else. For he hath said what? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Did you catch that? Isn't that interesting? So don't be covetous. Be content. Know that God will never leave or forsake thee. For what reason? That we can boldly say, God is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And I won't fear what man will do unto me. Weird, huh? God is there to help us. God is there. And man will push us constantly to say, you don't have all you need. Don't trust God. You're in the predicament you're in because you're trying to trust an invisible God and an invisible thing that doesn't exist, right? So I can boldly say, boldly, without, that means without a shame, without shame, without any reserve, he's my helper. And I won't fear. I won't fear man. I won't fear what he'll do unto me. If I stand for Christ and serve Him and keep Him prioritized, I won't fear. Notice the purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God in everything we do, for His glory and for my good. We said this morning, God allows things into our life. Nothing comes into my life that He does not ordain or permit. And both of those, whatever He allows in, whether He ordains it or permits it, is ultimately for His glory and for my good. Everything He does is to help me. Even the hard things, I know, difficult. Oh, I can't imagine some of the things you folks have gone through. But to think about that, that it's for my good. He's doing something. The not only remembrance of our purpose, but remembrance of the provision. The provision. Now, worry doesn't prevent disaster. It prevents joy. Worry doesn't prevent disaster. It prevents joy. It prevents the joy from our heart, doesn't it? Worry, worry, worry. We worry about tomorrow, can't change anything about it. Don't forget about the provision, though. Notice what he says again in verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. In Luke, he talks about the ravens. It's those crows. For they sow not, neither do they reap. We talked about this a little bit already. Nor gather into barns, for yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Are ye not much better? Are you better than those birds? Yes, you are, he says. And the provisions of God. God gives and provides for all of His creatures, and He provides especially for His children. In Psalm 84, verse 11, he says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's Psalm 84:11. That's a good verse right there, isn't it? No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, that doesn't mean we get everything we want, right? No, the good thing. The good thing. Has God withheld good from you this past week? No. There's things we wanted, we didn't get. There's things that we desired, we didn't get. There's things we didn't want, we got. I was messing around this week and got a bum knee now. I don't know what's wrong with my knee. I cannot stretch it out. I think it's my meniscus or something. So I went online, you know, I'm looking at all this stuff, and I find out I'm dying. You know, no, you go on WebMD or something. I'm dying. My wife's like, oh, calm down. You're not. I don't know what I did. You think about it. Then He gives us some stuff. Maybe it's to keep me in line here, I think. But He won't withhold a good thing from us if we'll walk uprightly. And when we walk uprightly, what happens? His desire becomes our desire. His will becomes our will, doesn't it? And we say, okay, Lord, I understand now. I know what You want me to do. But notice this, the example given. The birds. The birds. He talks about that. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought, he says, verse 28, for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. They don't spin, he says. They don't make a big show. They're not fancy and doing all these things. And yet I say unto you, he says, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He, except for weeds, right? They don't go away. Shall not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Oh, think about that. The provisions of God. For the birds, for the field, for the grass. I mean, He talks about all of it. As we see here, that He's given everything we need. And I love Psalm 37:25. I have been young, now I'm old, the psalmist says. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, I've seen it. The righteous, God takes care of. There's something about it. And your righteousness, living righteous, is prioritizing God in your finances. And keeping Him first. And understanding that. And remember, every time you give, you do not give to me. You don't give necessarily to the church. What, you're doing it to God, aren't you? And then God disperses it how He sees fit. And we think about it. He's never seen the righteous forsaken. Not one time, He says. As my old age, He says, never one time. Okay, let me bring it home here. Last one, that we see the power of God. The power of God. Oh, now verse 31, and we'll close it out. Therefore take no thought. It says, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek after. Now he's speaking about those unbelievers. They seek after these things. That's what they do. They get up and run the rat race tomorrow for those things, don't they? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows what you need. But seek ye first, here it is, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Clearly an indication to us here to seek first. God says, seek first the eternal, and then I'll provide the rest. Now, the power of God. I love the quote, man's extremity is God's opportunity. When we think about God's opportunity in our lives, he's constantly wanting to work and willing to work, but how often we hinder him. And Philippians 4 and verse 6, a good verse we know, but just a good thing to read again. Be careful for nothing, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God knows what we need, but he has made up it this way that we ask him. I don't know why. He wants to hear it from us. He wants to hear it from us. My kids, I know what they need. I know what they need, okay? But when they come up and ask me kindly, boy, that's wonderful, isn't it? Dad, I need money, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. One of my kids, he hears that often. That's sad, too, but anyways. One of my kids came up and it was just today, this afternoon, a little Kiki. And she said, Daddy? I said, yeah, I'm trying to nap here, you know. She said, oh, I drew this picture for you. I said, oh, you did? Oh, thank you. I kind of woke up, you know. And she said, see here, there's you with a crown on your head. You're a king. And I'm here next to you and I'm a princess. And I said, hey, I like that. Thank you. You know, well, you brighten up, don't you? Hey, thank you very much. I like that. How much more, our Heavenly Father, right? Lord, you know what I need. Would you do it quickly, please, by the way? What's he say? I know what you need. I know what you need. And the peace of God. What do? We give it to God. Thank you, Lord. And we leave it alone. When that peace comes, we no longer carry that burden. God knows what we need. Now notice, he has power. He has power. The power to provide. He has the power to know. Omniscience. He has the power to provide. And we see all of that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Oh, my friends, again, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Thinking about this tonight, as we'll look a little more next week about how do we prioritize some of these things. And we'll get into what I really like in Malachi chapter 3. He brings out and talking about, will a man rob God? Really? They said, where did we rob you? He says, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. Bring those in, he says, to the storehouse. Bring them in. Then I can use it. We'll get into more of that next week. But as we think about prioritizing the things of God, and number one in our economics, if you want to call it, in our time, talent, and treasures, as we said a little bit last week, and we're looking forward to that. Why? God wants to see us blessed. He wants to bless us. He wants to see us fruitful and all of those things. And it comes back to, Lord, are you pleased with what I'm doing in my finances and with giving back to you? Isn't that a challenge? I know it is for me, but we ought to do that. Just think. Why? Again, it's only for our good and for His glory. And I hope that that's something that we can do and we can perform, especially as not only individuals, but as a church, be able to give back properly as God has blessed us, as I know you folks already do that. And so appreciate you. But let's continue to do that. And this week, seek first the kingdom of God. Keep it first. Lord, I'm seeking that. Eternal. That's what I'm doing. All these things you'll add unto me. Gain, loss, everything in between, you'll take care of it. All right, I'll stop there tonight. And Lord, we do thank you for this time as we've gathered. And again, just looking through the scriptures and especially chapter 6, what a tremendous portion of scripture as we've looked at before, but to see how you've laid out for us the economics, if you want to call, of the believer and what we do with what we've been given. And how we handle that properly. You've offered us an opportunity each week to give back to you. We know that you don't need it, but it's for our good. And ultimately, you receive the glory through it. Help us to do just that. Lord, I know that preaching to myself tonight in a lot of ways, and I pray you'd help all of us, God, to look forward to that great day when we can stand before you and be in eternity with you and not worry about all of these things in particular these things dealing with income, and we can enjoy you forever, as you said. Thank you, Father, again for this beautiful day to be in your house. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. I know all of us going different ways tonight and then tomorrow into the new week. Protect us, God, as we travel on the roads back and forth. Watch over us, be with our children, especially, God, and grandchildren. Be with them, protect them. And Lord, we thank you and love you in Jesus' precious holy name. And amen.